fighting for America.
Not only do we have to win this legal fight, but we're still going to have to pass a law through Congress. The bottom line is, Jose, that I'm using all of the legal power vested in me.
Fighting for Idaho.
We're in a kind of situation where, the end of the Roman Republic 2,000 years ago, and it's very disturbing, completely apart from the substance of immigration policy.
Fighting for you.
Thank goodness that you're there to at least allow us a voice. We need that. And we love you, brother. And we love the guests that you bring on. You're amazing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, hey, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Welcome to Monday. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up this week, Bibi Netanyahu makes a run. We also have a possible ban on ammunition. Idaho debates the minimum wage. And, oh, yes, our friend Dave Petso. But if you had a life this weekend and enjoyed the great weather, already people running around and getting fit. In fact, last night on my way home from church, I saw many people just running, and it was dark out late at night, so be careful about that, number one. Number two, this is a bill I think I can get behind, that in the Idaho legislature, finally they're going to do something. Forget education, forget funding the internet, forget guns. We're looking at possibly getting rid of daylight savings time, and I've debated this for many years. Because you that work the hours of the Walking Dead, know how difficult, know how traumatic, know how rough summer is going to be. And DTS, what is it, daylight, or is it DST? DST, not to be confused with STD. DST, daylight savings time, accounts for over 30 weeks of our calendar year. So coming up in March and ending in November, the days are going to be long. So if you like hiking, if you like running, if you like bike riding, if you like doing everything else, hey, March is your time. March is your season. And now people are saying that if you get rid of daylight savings time in Idaho, then all of a sudden you're going to have us with the same, we're going to be in, what is, Pacific time zone most of the year, or all of the year, and not only Pacific time zone, but the North Country is going to be in Mountain time zone. And, you drive one way and they're going to be central time zone. I don't know how they've figured out or disfigured it out, but the idea of not having to fall back and spring forward, A, I'm in favor of it. And B, just a point of concern, it's going to be time to hike in spring. And as our friend Dave Petso, I like to golf. Good for you, Dave Petso. Very tough to get to bed at 8 o'clock at night when it's as bright as it is as noon on a summer day. So. That having been said, oh, look and behold, it's Dave Petso, everybody.
Good to see you, Kevin.
Good to see you.
So it's all about you is what you're saying.
Hey, it's all about myself and the people that have to work these insane hours. Okay. Now, you do your glorious little guest appearance here, your little well-tailored, well-mannered, well-dressed view on Channel 7. I mean, the rest of us, look at me. Does it look like I get up at 3 in the morning every day? I would say yes. Yeah. The side effects are kicking in. So now we'll have to, that's a serious topic. Forget the budget.
Yeah.
Forget the internet. Forget minimum wage.
No.
We're talking eliminating daylight savings time.
And this has gone on my whole life.
And what say you?
I said, leave it alone.
So you like the spring and the fall kind of thing?
Sure, I guess I'm used to it. Yeah, why not? I like daylight savings time all the time.
Yes, I'm sure you do, because you can golf at 10 o'clock at night.
I don't golf at 10 o'clock at night, but you're right, we could. Yeah,
I have my sources.
Yeah.
And if it isn't true, I'll just make it up anyway.
That's right.
What everybody else does.
Of course, right.
All right, Dave Petso with us, Petso Financial, Petso Center, Money Matters, Saturdays 8 to 10. So our friend Matt Erpelding, state representative, along with his Senate Democrat colleagues, have decided to look at pushing the minimum wage to $9.25 in Idaho. Now, will it go anywhere? Most likely it won't. However, we've talked about this when Seattle did this, when Washington did it, when Oregon did
right.
it. Heck, the almighty New York Times did a story on how Idaho is lacking behind its brothers and sisters in the Northwest. Your thoughts?
I think the market will take care of itself. I started, as you did, as a teenager with minimum wage jobs. So did many of our listeners. That, you know, the bottom line is it's an opportunity job. It's not a permanent job. And I'm not sure why we have to determine what pay will be with very low skilled labor. It's just these are starter jobs, and people want to work their way up, get more training and experience, and we don't pay minimum wage. Even Walmart, you know, with a great announcement they made here a couple weeks ago, Kevin, with they're going to pay their starting people a little bit more money. That's great. But the fact of the matter is their average pay was already at $14 an hour, or $12.50 or something like that, because as people gain skills, they quickly advance. So I don't think we need to be fussing around the edges with minimum wage laws.
Dave Penso with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. What would it do to businesses?
Well, it can. In some certain cases, it's certainly going to be anti-job. This is not hard to understand. If you pull up, if you have the ability to pull up to a place and order something, you know, through the little box, right, through the drive-thru, why doesn't a machine take your order?
Right.
It's voice recognition. Siri knows. You know, it's pop on here, and Siri will, I'll say, you know, find the nearest taco stand, and it'll do that. I don't have to type it in. It does it. So it's not difficult to see, as we push minimum wages higher, that we'll just simply replace them with machines.
Won't we see that already, though?
We are, to a degree, Kevin. We're just going to enhance that. There's no reason why at McDonald's they need all those people there to take orders and things like that. We'll just give it to a machine. Why don't you just type it in if you want to? Type in your own order. And those types of things are going to continue, as if machines are cheaper, then that is my, you know, I believe that the businesses will answer it that way.
If that's the case, where are going to be the entry-level employee opportunities for kids today?
There won't be. There absolutely will not be. Because then we're, you know, again, I think it's detrimental to society to not have people at entry, have the ability to go get entry-level jobs. If, for example, every job out there was a, quote, living wage, whatever that is, I don't know what that is. But, you know, there needs to be some czar in charge of living wage and what that might look like. If that's the case, then you have every single position out there has a living wage. You won't have any opportunities for starter wages, starter jobs. How do people get experience in the first place?
Dave Penso with us, 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's talk a little bit about the local economy here in Idaho. Obviously, the legislature debating bills and debating education. How crucial is it? We hear it from the politicians and the educational activists all the time, that we have good schools, that we have a good infrastructure, that we have, you know, that is a draw. Is that really a draw for people coming to Idaho, or is it, you know, the roads and the bridges?
Yeah, it's all the above. It's a lifestyle. It's the fact that we live right next to the mountains, which really the politicians, thank goodness, can't do anything about. Thank goodness they also can't do anything about the most incredible four-season climate. Politicians can't ruin that. So it is what it is, and that all of it draws people in. Kevin, my problem, of course, with all of this is that the answer all the time to a broken program, whenever government deals with it, is we need more money. It's not that it's broken and we need to try to figure out how to fix it. The answer always is we need more money. It's not broken, we just need more money. It's not broken, we just need more money. Government always needs more money. That somehow, in the mind of a liberal, is how we fix everything. It's absolutely absurd. Nobody would think in business, hey, you know, this isn't working for us. Well, you know, hey, you know, boss, I have an idea over here. Let's spend more money on it. I mean, you want to lose your job? Why don't you suggest a money-losing or a problematic area needs more money in your business, and I'm pretty sure that your future will be diminished. But government thinks only that way, Kevin. So I don't think the answer for education is more money. I think the answer for education we're working on, which is many different experiments with all these charter schools, different ways to teach kids. They don't all work perfectly, but the kids are smarter today than they've ever been. So some of the things that we're doing are right. And the point is just saying we need more money is just typical government.
All right, much more coming up with Dave Penso here. Let's go to Gordon in Meridian with Kevin Miller and Dave Penso at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning. Yes, what's really struck me about the minimum wage is it's really worse than that. when you have your daughter who's a senior in college and they can't work 40 hours a week because the employer has to give them medical insurance, even though they're covered underneath my medical insurance. And so then they aren't able to work full-time just for a summer job anymore.
Well, you're right. There are so many ramifications for the entire labor market whenever government steps in. Because, again, it, so often, and certainly with this administration, I do believe this to be a true statement. It certainly has been, and I believe it still is the case, that there is nobody in the administration that's ever held a job or run a business at all. Not at all. So how would they have any comprehension of what you might do and how you might react to the fact that if you have 35 hours or some arbitrary number, 37, 40, 31, that's why we have so many part-time jobs in this country, is because they try to keep from violating the rules. And as you point out, now I have to provide health care. Well, I don't want to provide health care for a part-time job, a seasonal job, those types of things. It's difficult.
And now the government's even saying, well, maybe we should lower the full-time to 30 hours a week.
Well, they have on the health care side, yes. And now they're actually trying, Republicans, now that they have the Congress back, are trying to push that higher. So that will be very, very helpful to say, no, full-time is maybe 35 hours. I don't know. But at least they're making some inroads on that. But you bring up a very good point. Businesses will react to the stupidity of bureaucrats, to the overriding regulations of government. They either will cut jobs, they will cut hours, but they will react. And also, in many cases, unfortunately, they just simply won't start businesses.
Yes. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Gordon, thank you for the call. At 580-KIDO, let's go to Liberal Steve, Kevin Miller, Dave Petzo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Petzo, how can you sit there and you made the statement, all liberals want to do is raise taxes?
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. I said they want to spend money.
Well, how do they spend money? They want to raise taxes. That's implying that. The governor of this state steps into office for what, the third term, and the first thing he does is wants to put a tax on gas and take away any minimum wage raise that they got. I mean, people don't look at that. As soon as petroleum goes up, their wages go down. I mean, it's just like a cut in wages every time it goes in, and he wants to slap a tax on it. So a blanket statement like that, with inflation, you do need to raise money. And with the Pentagon, it needs billions of dollars to live. They need money. So, and Reagan raised taxes more than anybody else, any president yet. So it's
no, actually, he didn't. He cut taxes more than any president yet. You might want to look that up.
No, he didn't. He did not. That's
no, it, when he cut taxes, then the revenues exploded. You might check that. But revenues exploded just like they did when Kennedy lowered tax rates. They also had receipts exploded because it's pro-business, it's pro-work, it's rewarding people for their efforts. People work harder, longer hours. That's exactly what happened with Kennedy. It's exactly what happened with Reagan, but one, of course, a Republican and one a Democrat.
I'm really sorry to say this, but, that's a bunch of BS. Americans work hard. Americans work harder than any other individual out there.
I didn't say they didn't. They certainly do. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Welcome to my world. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, all we did was ship jobs overseas.
And who was the president in the 90s? Who was the president in the 90s?
Clinton.
Exactly. Gazoon type. Time for traffic. Five.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning with us, Dave Petzo, as we continue on. So, if we take a look at, we're halfway through two-thirds way through the first quarter. Your thoughts?
If we separate out two things here, let's take a look at, let me make it three things. Globally, a turnaround. Seriously, I really feels overseas a whole lot better. Europe, which was the, you know, everybody was very concerned. Forget about Greece. It's, you know, again, I've said this many times, 11 million people, it's just not that big a deal. And it will be resolved. But the point here is that they seem to be showing signs of growth over there. And that also coupled with the fact that they've done the austerity piece that the United States has not done. And I know, Kevin, you and I have talked about this a few times. Watch Europe over the next 10 years versus the U.S. Everybody, I think, has it completely backwards where they're saying watch the U.S. versus the rest of the world because we're stronger. We have got to deal with the imbalance in our budget, the social programs, all those things. Europe has done that. The question is, will they backpedal and go back to the socialist nations that they were before and ruin the gains they've made? I don't know that, but it feels to me like they're really making a turnover there economically. So that, to me, is the big story so far this year globally, is Europe's doing much, much better than people thought they would be doing. The second piece, of course, is that our market is nearing all-time highs again, or right at it, and the NASDAQ is on fire. That's the tech stocks. February, okay, in spite of all the bad news, all you do is pick up the paper, bad news, bad news, bad news everywhere. It is bad news everywhere. Because that's what they report, is what's wrong in the world. Get this. We had the second best month. All right, we had the best month in 2 years. The very best month in 2 years in February, up 5.5%. So, Kevin, the market's doing well, and Europe seems to be going better. So, finally, I'll say that the overall economy in the U.S. is okay. I'm not going to say it's really good. I think there's a lot of people giving it way too much credit. I don't think it's going as well as some of the, you know, most bullish on the economy are saying. But, of course, those that are waiting for the end of the world, part 743, are going to have to wait again. It just isn't ending yet.
You know, over the weekend we had the audition round at CPAC. You had Sarah Palin, Chris Christie, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush. A lot of folks trying to make the play to be the Republican nominee. The election, what, 22, 28 months out? The primary is 11 months out. What does this mean economically to have a Republican in the White House as opposed to Barack Obama?
Again, if it's a Republican that has business experience, I think it's real world experience. Then I think that you have a night and day difference. But where people are going to be looking at it, I think they look in the wrong places. And that is with all of the agencies that are out there. We look at what's going on with the Obama can't get his policies passed, so he has extreme progressive, extreme liberals running all the agencies. And the only way that we can stop them has been through the courts. I mean, several of them on the labor front have had court case after court case just tossed. Because the agencies are so, so liberal. And that's really what you end up doing. But we really do need a Republican of any kind in there to get these progressive super liberals out. That's the biggest problem out there, because most of government is run by the agencies, not by the presidency. So, and if we, you know, I'd love to see pro-business, but regardless, Kevin, the difference, especially if the Republicans retain the House and the Senate, could be absolutely incredible by repealing so much of this garbage that's layered onto businesses. We could really have an economic renaissance, as you and I have talked many, many times. Just getting government a little bit out of the way of people, we will have an incredible renaissance.
Dave Pezzo with us here. What should we be looking out for this week? We've got the new Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge coming out. When we're talking about technology, Netflix with its big House of Cards 3 premiere blowing up, net neutrality could cause some concerns there. What are you looking out for this week?
You know, we're really kind of in this quiet period right now where earnings season has passed, and there really isn't a lot going on. And we kind of saw that in the markets, right? They're really dull. There's not a lot of volatility. I'm not looking for any big surprises, Kevin. And, of course, the market can and will come up with its own surprises. But with energy prices bouncing right around that $50 a barrel number, we're not seeing that. Is it collapsing? Is it right? We're just seeing a whole lot of dull right now. I don't think that there's a lot of news out there right now. I'll talk to you next week, and we'll probably have two or three things we can talk about because things will come up. But I don't really think there's anything on the horizon this week other than the jobs numbers. The market always focuses on it, at least for Friday. So we'll have one day of Friday that could be pretty volatile.
And final thought, Costco getting rid of American Express, going with Visa and Citi.
That's big to American Express. That is huge.
You're a Costco guy.
I'm a Costco guy. I like Costco. And actually,
you know, I could see you at Costco with like two carts loaded up so you don't have to go there for 6 months or something like that. Is
well,
that what you
do? Well, it's, you know, for a single guy, you know, Kevin, it's not really, it, yeah, I
right.
just, I even if I'm shopping for the office, I still,
right.
I only need one cart.
Right.
Okay. I only need one cart for all my stuff for a long time. But you're right, yeah, and everything's Costco size. So anyway, yes, and they're very innovative, creative. I don't know what happened there. That's a big deal to American Express. That's a huge loss for American Express. And from a stock investment perspective, American Express, they're going to have to restate what's going on and what direction they're moving, because this is a big, big hit.
Dave Pezzo, Money Matters, Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Catch him all the time and on Twitter and on Facebook.
I'm following in your footsteps, buddy. I am. I'm trying to tweet and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Dave Pezzo on Twitter, Pezzo Financial. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
7:39, coming up, we'll talk to Jeff Manasso. We'll get his thoughts on some of the safer vehicles available now. Consumer Reports issuing their latest report. Plus, do you believe it's time to raise the minimum wage? Idaho Democrats on Friday decided to push a bill for raising the minimum wage, not to $8, not to $9, but to $9.25 an hour. Will this make things better? And by the way, speaking of entertainment, entertaining things, have you ever thought about taking a bath in Coca-Cola? How about Mentos? Now, many of you that surf the web or on the Facebook or the Twitter or the Snapchat or the Instagram or whatever it is, you know, you watch these crazy videos, right? And you watch people, you know, put Mentos in Coca-Cola or Diet Coke or whatever it is. So I was perusing the web, and I saw a guy actually take a bath in Coke and Mentos. Now, if you've seen the Mentos Coke thing go on, you know where this is going. And if you need something or need to send somebody something like, hey, if you're having a bad day or this is what happens when you have too much time on your hands, I've put the video up for you at 580kido.com. Watch Crazy Mentos Man. And I love this because I'm trying to figure out the value of it. Besides, this guy has too much time on his hands. But it's already got over a million hits, so check that out. Watch Crazy Mentos Man at 580kido.com. Of course, it's kind of like the woman that interviewed President Obama with the green lips, green lipstick. I think she took a bath in, what was it, Lucky Charms or something like that, and actually ate it? Now that's appealing as you're having your bacon and eggs this morning. Jeff Manasso joining us, Fox News Radio. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how are you, Kevin?
Living the dream. Now, we've talked about this before, but I thought about going in depth with you concerning, you know, just what is and what isn't a safe vehicle. Do we really even care anymore when you have these sporty vehicles and these economy vehicles, these electric vehicles? I mean, how big is safety to most consumers these days?
Well, I think safety is a huge thing with consumers. In fact, I think it rates up there with just about you know, everything else, and you know, comfort, fuel efficiency. Safety is number one, you know, especially if you have a family. It's really big. And we see time and time again at these auto shows. When I was in Detroit, safety was one of the key aspects to many of the automakers in terms of their new redesigns, and right along there with you know, creature comforts and you know, the design and comfort and fuel efficiency. So safety's big.
So let's take a look at some of the safer vehicles. For years, Subaru has ruled the roost. You know, again, you have all these options. And with a Subaru, you get safety, you get reliability, you get value. You know, how do they rate as opposed to Consumer Reports taking a look at these?
Big. In fact, with this latest Consumer Reports study shows that Subaru cleaned house. Best compact, the Impreza. Best small SUV, the Forester. Best midsize, the Legacy. Which all have gotten a new redesign, not a total redesign, but, you know, tweaking of the headlights and rear lights and a little bit of the inside. But, you know, safety, big with Subaru, and fuel efficiency. Many of these cars now with these new motors, what do they call them?
It's the Echo, the hybrid, the this, the that.
It's a continuously variable transmission, and essentially they don't switch gears like other cars where you can actually feel the car shifting gears. It's kind of just like a constant, and many of the hybrids have these. Nissan also with their new cars, their new lineup going with these motors, and they're supposed to be very fuel efficient, up to 30 some miles per gallon, depending on which car and which brand.
So let's take a look at the top five, if you will. We've had some movement by the American car companies. The Japanese doing well as well.
Lexus overall got best pick in terms of their brand, reliability, road tests, comfort, safety, things like that. But the U.S. automakers actually placed fairly well. Chevy Impala, Buick Regal did well. The Tesla S, so three American automakers doing really well in some of these this latest testing. Mercedes-Benz falling out of the top 10 to 21st for the first time in a long time. The company pushing back. We talked to the company CEO Steve Cannon on Friday. And essentially, he's pushing back, saying that no, we don't agree with this study. We're at the top of the industry, and quality has always been in the DNA of the Mercedes brand. But many of these reports, like Consumer Reports, I mean, they buy these cars anonymously, and they conduct more than 50 tests on them, including evaluations for braking and handling and comfort and things like that. Dodge, Ford, Mini, Jeep, and Fiat also scoring the very bottom of the list.
Well, it begs to note that, again, the integrity of what Consumer Reports does, you don't know who they are when they buy these things and the tests they put them through. They're pretty extensive. You know, reading the magazine, you have just the symbols for this, that, and the other. They take it very seriously because a lot is on the line when you're talking safe vehicles. And, you know, whether you're buying a new car or a used car, you want to make sure the thing is safe and it's reliable. I always love how, you know, when they talk about if it's going to break down, you take a look at Jeep and some of the others that didn't do quite as well as they'd hoped.
And hopefully, you know, when you consider these types of tests, and it's not just Consumer Reports, it's other tests out there, and thanks to the internet, there are a lot more auto blogs and a lot more reports that are geared specifically toward the new cars and trucks out there and vans and how safe they are and road tests and things like that. And so the onus is really on the auto industry to make them even safer.
What do you make of Tesla? I mean, you talk to these business folks throughout the area. I mean, the idea of an American car company coming up, that's not a member of the big three. We haven't probably seen that since the movie of the real life version, Tucker.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're great cars. The concept, it's a great concept, and in terms of these luxury cars that are electric, and it's really grown into a relatively huge thing with this auto industry, and Tesla, year after year, is cranking out new models, new versions, and they're constantly redesigning the way we used to do things and making new things. You know, now they're working on these doors, these wing doors for their new models. They're working on an SUV that would take on the Porsche Cayenne and other high-end SUVs. And you know what? Here in Chicago, I see a lot of Tesla S's, a lot of them.
It's the in thing.
Mm-hmm. It is, but look, you have to have the money for these things. They're not cheap. I guess even if I did have $80,000 to drop on a car, I probably wouldn't do that.
Jeff Manasso, thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks, Kevin.
Our great friend Jeff Manasso joining us, Fox News Radio. Time for Traffic Now.
Americans really need to stand up and not put up with the discrimination against Americans.
They are complete yes men. They have no minds of their own. They only do what they're told.
People have gotten frustrated where they don't go vote anymore because they don't think it makes any difference, and that's sad.
I want to know what you're thinking.
Kevin Miller is talking to you on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
What you're feeling. Matches the federal minimum wage, puts our state at a disadvantage to its neighbors in Oregon and Washington. And states like that, Oregon and Washington, their minimum wage is both more than $9.
Friday, the Senate State Affairs Committee printed a bill to raise the minimum wage. It's an effort Adrian Evans has been part of for 2 years.
Anytime you have poverty and that gap between the wealthy and those who don't have enough to just meet the basics, it affects so many social factors.
Evans and her organization, United Action for Idaho, have partnered with 23 other organizations in areas like mental health, domestic violence, and children's well-being to support this bill. She says a raise in the minimum wage is good for the economy.
The more money that goes into the pockets of minimum wage workers, it goes right into the economy.
Senate Bill 1111 would raise minimum wage by a dollar this July, another dollar next July, and then tie it to the Consumer Price Index. Senate Minority Leader Michelle Stennett is one of the sponsors of the bill.
It's something that one way or another society takes on that burden because we aren't supplying an avenue or a venue for them to earn something that they can afford to live on without depending.
There we have it. Of course, our friend Matt Erpelding, Representative Erpelding, all about this. We had him on last week, didn't mention it before he introduced it. And it begs the question at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Time to raise the minimum wage. We go to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Munns Tom on Twitter, man of the world. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Kevin. We're all socialists now, buddy. So who are the idiots here? Or the retards, I should say, because I'm politically correct. Was it those that voted for those people to get in office, or were those that boldly proclaimed socialism from the level of government? I mean, I don't understand this. They're obviously not thinking far enough ahead. Do they understand what this does to small businesses? Oh, yeah. Every dollar goes into the economy. Why don't we raise this thing? You know what, Kevin? We should raise minimum wage to $5,000 a minute. Because after all, they are just ones and zeros, right? They're just digits that go into someone's bank account. They're not really money. As a matter of fact, the country doesn't even run on money anymore. If it's all about digits, let's just give everybody 40 billion digits or maybe 100 billion digits, and then we can all be kumbaya. Do these people have – I don't even – economics is one of my weakest topics. But I can tell you through common sense, if we're going to take money from business owners and we're going to raise minimum wage, we make it impossible for them to be able to function.
Well – the argument that I have against the minimum wage issue is that prices are just going to go up. I mean,
prices are going to go up.
Right.
Jobs are going to go through the floor. These small businesses, these moms, they sit there and talk about prosperity on one hand, and they completely attack it with the M16s of their own economy on the other. I mean, are these people lunatics? And they think I'm freaking nuts just because of the way I talk on the radio.
I would never think you're nuts because of the way you talk on the radio.
I'm just, you know what, Kevin, we just got to get real here. There's a new saying out, I can't really say it, but it talks about getting real. But why don't we get real here in Idaho and realize that, you know, we're not this red state. Well, we're a red state, all right, but we're not the traditional red state. We are a socialist state that believes in that government has the authority to do whatever it does. Government is not supposed to have the authority to be able to do this. They can tell us what to put on their car. They can tell us what we can't put on our car. They can tell us what to eat. They can tell us how much money we can make. They can tell us how much cash we're supposed to carry when we're driving down the road or we end up getting it taken from the cops. I mean, is this a free country?
One would hope.
Why do we not see the outrage in this state? We are losing our minds. We are losing our freedom, and few seem to care.
I agree. Tom Munz, thank you for the call. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Time for traffic now.
Enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
The Tea Party Bob with a minute left at 580-KIDO.
Kevin, I keep telling you, the minimum wage is not the way to go. And if they really want to do something to help our economy and to help people there that don't have a lot of money coming in, cut the taxes. That's the easiest way to do it. If they can't do that, what good are these politicians that we have there that say they're working for us? All they do is have tax increases. You want to make it simple? Cut the grocery tax. Get rid of it. Everybody gets a raise when you do something like that. Get rid of the most regressive taxes you have. Bring things back to a broad-based tax. Get the income tax down so that people will move here. Businesses will move here. The only way to move an economy forward is if you lower taxes, because you increase your base. You know, you don't need to tax people to death, but evidently that seems to be the way our politicians want to go.
All right, Tea Party Bob, thank you. Coming up, Alma, the anti-fracker returns. Big hearing today. We'll get the preview next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning.